to sing my great Redeemer's praise, my great Redeemer's praise.
Hello, dear friend. This is Whitney Doe inviting you to listen to Methodist Hour. We will hear the music of the Don Marsh Singers and a timely message from the Bible by John Wolfe. Stay with us and enjoy the next 14 minutes, won't you?
My gracious Master and my God.
Methodist Hour encourages evangelical Christianity as we reach around the world.
God, the honors of thy name.
It has become a favorite song of the church around the world. Perhaps you know the words well enough to sing along. How great thou art! Sing with us. Today's message is entitled, A Sacred Place. Here is Methodist Hour speaker, the Reverend John Wolfe.
Thank you so much, Whit. The gospel lesson is John chapter 2, verses 13 through 22. The Passover of the Jews was near, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple, he found people selling cattle and sheep and doves and the money changers seated at their tables. Making a whip of cords, he drove all of them out of the temple, both the sheep and the cattle. He also poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. He told those who were selling the doves, "Take these things out of here. Stop making my Father's house a marketplace." Now his disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." The Jews then said to him, "What sign can you show us for doing this?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews then said, "This temple has been under construction for 46 years, and you will raise it up in 3 days." But he was speaking of the temple of his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. Amen. You know, there are special places in our lives that hold very important memories. Places like the homes in which we grew up, or places like the schools that we went to in our towns of our childhood. One of those such places for me is the corner of Miami Avenue and Euclid Road in Madera, Ohio. It's where I grew up. Several years ago, in fact, it's been about a decade ago, I went back there, and each time I go back, I like to put on my jogging shoes and run down through the town. I did that back in Thanksgiving of this past year. But this time, I went there. This is a small town, but anyway, there's something special to me to run along the road and recall those persons and experiences. And you know, you sort of feel like you're going to see somebody you know all the time. Well, there was that old bakery that made those world-class cream-filled donuts, and places like the place where I bought my first real suit. Well, the corner of Euclid Road and Miami Avenue, well, that's my sacred place. That day, just as I was approaching my holy ground, I noticed scores of blinking yellow lights and dozens of those orange and white construction barriers. Gosh, I thought, it must have been some kind of an accident or a fire. Now, I'm not sure exactly what to call the emotion I was feeling when I finally made it to the intersection. There was shock and disappointment, even a little fear. And I guess I immediately went into a kind of grief. It was as though something so personal in my life had been suddenly stolen from me, and there was no possibility of getting it back. On that corner, for more than 8 decades, there was a United Methodist Church. It was the Madera United Methodist Church, and now as I stood there on my Ebenezer, there was no building at all, just a massive hole in the ground. The church had been torn down so that a new city hall could take its place. You know, it is such a strange feeling. I'm sure that some of those workmen looked at me and thought I was a little strange. Well, I didn't sob out loud. It wouldn't have taken much. I was so sad just to know that it was gone. Now, you must understand, it had been more than 20 years since I had worshipped there, and it was even inside that building. I had jogged by it, but I never had gone inside. Actually, the church itself had moved to a new beautiful sanctuary about 5 miles down the road. The building I was grieving over had already been the Madera City Hall for at least 18 years. But the building had always looked the same. Now, it's so strange. Even as I share with you now, I can clearly remember the inside of that plain Gothic church building. I can remember seeing my mom and dad there when I preached my first sermon. I was 17 years old. I had just been voted president of our youth fellowship, and I was there as the youth Sunday speaker. That was the only time that my mother and my father were ever together to hear me preach. It was in that church that I made my first commitment to Christ. It was there that I attended my first funeral and came face to face with the reality of my own death and mortality. It was in that church that I sat with my pastor, Dr. James Laney, and talked about my family and what it was like to become a Methodist pastor. You know, as I reflect on that experience, that day I just think all over, somehow there was a deep sense of security that church had brought into my life. And that day I felt threatened. Just something happened as I looked down in that dark, empty hole that seemed to have swallowed up this important part of my life. Well, as you think about it, do you have a place like that in your life? But as you ponder it, I want you to think about just going back with me about 20 centuries. Go back to that April afternoon when Jesus came to the temple there in Jerusalem. This was not just any temple. It was the temple in Jerusalem, the holy city. See, for the Hebrew people, this was the holy city. For the Jews, it was as though God actually lived there. It was the center, the location of the Hebrew faith and tradition. It all centered there. It was in the temple that the scribes and the Pharisees and the members of the Sanhedrin all gathered with the other priests to discuss the law and to hand out judgments on those who kept the law or broke it. Now, every devout Jew anywhere wanted to come to this temple. Now, you see, it's Passover. This is the celebration and the remembering of the time when God rescued the Hebrew people from the Pharaoh in Egypt. The city was just stashed with people. There were so many people from everywhere. Scholars estimate there were as many as 2.7 million people gathered for this feast. You see, it was the fundamental event in Hebrew history. Remember that after the liberation of Egypt, the Hebrew people spent 40 years in the wilderness with Moses. They were there as they headed to the Promised Land. It was during the wilderness time that God gave the Ten Commandments to Moses. So much of their history stemmed from this event. For Jesus, this day was coming home to holy ground. This was the very place that he made his first public appearance when he was 12. It's where his mom and dad took him when he was a little baby, just a few days old, to dedicate him to God. There was so much preparation going on, so much preparation for the Passover meal. Lambs were slaughtered, and then only from 3 to 5 p.m. on the day of preparation. I mean, it was such an incredibly well-done, organized event. There was a tax, you see, to come into the temple. And everyone was expected to give a sacrifice or offering. Usually it was animals. Now imagine you were coming hundreds of miles on foot. Why bring an animal sacrifice when you could buy one at the temple when you got there? Now we're getting to the heart of the thing here. That's why there were so many animals in the temple. Only Tyrian currency could be used in the temple because it did not have any human images on it. Coins from Rome and Greece had the emperor's image stamped on them and they couldn't be used. To spend those coins, though, one would have to exchange it for Tyrian coins or Jerusalem coins. Now, the temple tax, by the way, was equal to about 2 days' pay for the average wage earner. Now, please, please remember that what was going on in the temple that day when Jesus came in and had such a fit was common practice. There was nothing unusual happening. In fact, Jesus was not against what was happening. You might say that this event was a big moneymaker for the temple priests. Now, I'm sure a lot of people got ripped off in the sale and the resale of their animals and the money exchanges and so on, and for sure the Jews would have been protesting those actions. I don't mean to minimize that. But I want you to look at what was really going on. Stay with us now. First, you must keep in mind that this was a massive event. In terms of the impact on the city of Jerusalem, it was equal to that of the Olympics coming to your town, like they did here in Atlanta. Just imagine the chaos. More than double the average population. All attention was focused on the temple and the worship and the sacrifices. Millions of dollars would be traded in and around the temple. It happened every year. Jesus began to watch what was going on. He was home. He was in this sacred place, and he saw the intensity, though, of the religious authorities making sure that all aspects of the law were kept. The money being traded created a kind of feeding frenzy to the traders, and those were priests. It began to just well up inside of Jesus, and for the very reason people gathered there was to worship and to praise God, and now it was being lost in the activity of keeping the law and trading of the money and the animals for religious purposes. Here, Jesus, the very presence of God on earth, was in their midst, but they chose the worship of the activity of the temple instead of God. Now, friends, sometimes we want to use this text, the one where Jesus takes the whip in the temple and chases out the animals and the money changers, and we use that as though to say, you see, Jesus got angry too. He's only human. He made a whip and started beating up on everyone. Well, do not be confused by that understanding. The whip did chase out the animals of the inner courtyard of the temple. Well, just imagine having 300 or 400 cows in your sanctuary some Sunday morning. Jesus loved the temple. Remember, he said, "Get these out of here. How dare you turn my Father's house into a market?" With such tenacity of allegiance to the institutional structure and traditions of the temple cult, the people missed the new voice of God in Jesus. His display of anger was an expression of a broken heart. He was headed to the cross, and most of them would not even recognize it. Now, I miss that old church at the corner of Miami Avenue and Euclid Road. I learned so much about faith and worship there. But you see, the truth is that had I rested there on those traditions alone, I'd have never made it as a Christian. I did not know it at the time, but I had to move on. You see, faith is a journey with God for a lifetime. It's not a place. But tragically, there are countless churches each year who choose to cling to the past and remain the same. And for them, good friends, the journey has ceased. And one by one, they wither and die. Amen.
John Wolfe, I know you've got another message. Share your word with us now.
Thank you so much. You know, Vince Lombardi, the famous football coach of the Green Bay Packers, started every season with a very powerful statement, even after winning 5 NFL championships and 2 Super Bowls. He brought his team together and he held up a football so they could all see it, and then he said to them, "Gentlemen, this is a football." That meant that we are going to start over this season with learning the basics. Now, these were highly skilled, successful, professional players, but he reminded them that their success depended upon doing the fundamentals correctly. You know, sometimes even we preachers forget to teach and practice the fundamentals of our faith. They are prayer, study, worship, and practice. And if you leave out any one of these, soon the light of our faith grows dim. Jesus always followed that process. He prayed, he studied, and he worshiped, and then he practiced what he taught. And it was the way that he lived out what he taught that drew thousands to him. In fact, you and I are here today because of that. I want to invite you today to consider your faith habits, the habit of prayer, study, worship, and practice. If you'd like to know more about this or even talk about it, please contact me. Please connect with me. Call me or text me at 678-488-2162. 678-488-2162. Or you can email me at johnwolf@me.com. That's Wolf with an E, johnwolf@me.com. And, of course, our website is methodisthourinternational.com. Now, I pray His Spirit just flows all over you today. Amen.
And now until next week, this is your producer and host, Whitney Doe, praying that the good news will always be yours. May the Lord bless you and keep you.